Today is the 29th of May, 2011, Memorial Holiday weekend. There's going to be a lot of people this weekend doing a lot of different things. This holiday was originally instigated, and I don't use that term lightly, instigated, to honor fallen soldiers, soldiers who had died supposedly protecting the freedoms of our country. But now, people generally use the three-day weekend for barbecuing and having family reunions and taking flowers to their loved one's grave. And in all reality, this has been something that has become an ongoing expansion in our Memorial Holiday season, this whole thing about worshiping. A lot of people say, well, I don't worship the dead, but they sure put a lot of emphasis on the dead. Now, I know that the argument's been given that when Jesus Christ died, that the women went to the tomb and they took aloes and spices and that to the grave. I know that. I've heard that. There's nothing wrong with having fond memories of departed loved ones. You know, I'm not trying to take away the good memories that we have of people who have passed on. But I recently had gotten had a conversation with a person who had found out that his uncle had died like 3 or 4 days after he died, and he was the last to know and was real upset about it. And I said to him, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how that people want to, when somebody dies, they all of a sudden they want to make that person a hero. Or they want to make everybody around them think that you were real close to that person. When, if the truth be known, when the person was living, you couldn't stand him or her. I was talking to my mother yesterday on the phone, and the thing that I realize is that people's relationships are while they're living, not after they're dead. Not after they're dead. And by the way, you know, a lot of people, when they find out they're going to die, all of a sudden they get real serious about religion. And what about all the time they were living? Why didn't they think about and have a relationship with Jesus Christ while they were living? Why did they wait till the last? You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, well, he was saved on his deathbed. Well, not very good relationship to wait down, you know. Now, I know that we have to take into consideration the realities of the situation as it relates to the providence of God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is another sermon on the providence of God. We're at the Weatherby House Church here, and I often have said that I've had to almost pinch myself, because I would have never dreamed that I would be sitting in the back room of a mobile home having what I call a church service with my family members, 3 family members, after having attended, oh, I don't know, over 50 churches up until when I was 37. Or is that just said 100? So, you know, I was being conservative. But, you know, we were on a search for the truth. And we found the truth in the back of a mobile home add-on room. called Weatherby House Church. And I was recently, had the thought that had come to me about how that we got to this place. And I'm not going to go through all the history of that, but yet I was on sermon audio yesterday or this morning, whenever, and I think it showed that we have 570 messages on there. Who would have ever dreamed I would have put 570 messages on sermon audio? Not me. But every time that we put a message on sermon audio, it seems like it's been timely. It seems like it's been relevant, at least for us, for this little Weatherby House Church, for Rosette, Mark, and Larry. And we hope it's been relevant for other people that have listened. And I'm not saying that in a braggadocious way. I think we've had close to 160,000 downloads since we started this back in, 2006 or something like that. So it's been about 5 years. But you know what? God has been faithful to us. We've been unfaithful to Him at times. But He's always remained faithful. He will not ever leave us or forsake us. Even though we forsake Him, even though we have departed from His laws and so on. Now, I hope that you all will bear with me today. I've had a tough time this week with drainage and sinuses and all that stuff. My voice is gravelly. So just bear with us. Do we have a selection?
109.
Okay, 109. Here.
Our prayer once more.
Okay, 109. The hour of prayer once more is come. Once more, O Lord, we meet. Thanks to Thy name, there yet is room to bow beneath Thy feet. Our God, our hope, our heavenly friend, our Father and our all, our first great cause and last great end, on Thee for help we call. The helpless, poor, and needy soul, the tempted, I am distressed, dear Lord, relieve, support, make whole, and calm the troubled breast. The faith and hope, the joy and love of all Thy saints increase, hardness and prejudice remove, and fill our hearts with peace. The sick, the weak, and those confined, upon our hearts we bear. May they be to Thy will resigned, and Thy compassion share. Father, assist their souls who may upon Thee further call. Banish the fear of man away, and smile upon us all.
Three 34, God Healing Lies.
Rosette has requested 334. To God the only wise, our Savior and our King, let all the saints below the skies their humble praises ring. 'Tis His almighty love, His counsel and His care, preserves the saint from sin and death and every hurtful snare.
joy divinely great, and all the chosen race shall meet around the throne, shall bless the conduct of his grace, and make his wonders known. To our Redeemer God, wisdom and power belong, immortal crowns of majesty and everlasting songs.
178.
Sometimes when misgivings darken the day and face light I cannot see, I ask my dear Lord to brighten the way. He whispers sweet peace to me. Yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. I could not go on without him, I know. The world would overwhelm my soul, for I could not see the right way to go when temptations o'er me roam. Yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. I trust him through faith, my faith holds his hand, and sometimes my faith is weak. And then when I ask him to take command, it seems that I hear him speak. He speaks in a still, small voice we are told, a voice that dispels all fear. And when I'm in doubt or troubling soul, a still small voice I can hear. Yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down in spirit and soul, he whispers sweet peace to me.
Strange from God above,
hope to find His blessed favor, hope to know His blessed love. For His eye is far too pure to look upon this simple frame. His own perfect being never can accept life's sin and shame. Oh, that I knew where to seek Him, oh, that He might smile on me. But unless my sin is covered, such a joy can never be. But oh, listen, do you hear it? Do you hear that glad new song? It is telling how the Savior has been sent to claim His own. Blessed Jesus died to save me from the fatal sting. Now I know that He's my Savior, praises to my Lord and King.
Well, we were talking about the aspect of death, the providential hand of God. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe it's appointed unto man hundreds of thousands of times to die, and they uphold the doctrine of reincarnation. You might come back as a potato, or you might come back as a prince, or you might come back as a little frog or something. But as it relates to people making such an issue over when people die, I've often looked at obituaries, and I'd like to see what people have to say about people after they're dead. It's funny how the story changes. People don't have anything good to say about anybody when they're alive, but when they die, well, they become a prince. A frog turned into a prince. No. You know, glorifying people after they die. Part of it, I think, is the reality of that all of us are going to die, and we want people to say good things about us after we're gone. Well, I don't plan on having any kind of a... One time I thought, well, you know what? Plan a memorial service. I don't think anybody wants to show up. You know, we should be thinking about the resurrection. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always there. He lives. We should be thinking about a living Savior and not during this memorial holiday people are having their barbecues and they're putting their flowers on the graves. They say, well, that's why we put flowers on the grave, to represent the resurrection. But, you know, none of us would be recipients of eternal life had it not been for Christ raising from the dead. I'm sure you've thought about that, but none of us would have been recipients of eternal life had not Christ raised from the dead. Paul said that if Christ be not raised, we are yet in our sins. And so we see that there is a great, great accomplished a victory at the resurrection, at the time of the resurrection. And when we see our society and our world, and we see how providentially God has foretold us that it's going to get worse and worse, and we've talked about this the last several Sundays. I recently was sent an email by a friend of mine who has a lot of evidence that there are over 131 underground military bases in the United States. And some of these underground military bases are like little cities, you know, with over 1,000 people living in these cities. And a lot of people say, oh, well, here goes Larry on his conspirational view of history, you know. It's a fact. It's not history. Yeah, it's conspiracy, all right. There's a lot behind it, but yet we must realize that it's all under the providential sovereign hand of God. That's what sometimes we forget, that God is sovereign over everything, over evil. You know, when there were giants in the land in the Old Testament, there were people with six toes, and, or 10 toes, and 6 fingers, or whatever. There were amalgamations, I can't even say the word. There were people that were not of God's elect, put it that way. He created them, and they were not his elect people. And there are people, there are creatures, there are principalities, there are darknesses in high places. People talk about all these grays and the aliens and the UFOs. And, you know, I imagine a lot of this is factual stuff, but understand that God is sovereign over every bit of it. God created all the universes, all the galaxies, all the planets, all the infinitesimal. You know, people talk about, well, you know, that star is millions of light years away. So what? So what? God's over it all. I mean, if God can create the universe in 6 days, you know, who are we to limit what God can do? You know? And there used to be a song out, "It is no secret what God can do." Well, that's not really totally true, because we never will fully understand what God can do. It is a secret what some of the things that God does. In fact, the scripture even tells us who can, this is Larry's paraphrase, who can know the marvelous mysteries of God? Who can know his fathomable, unsearchable riches of Christ? And so today my mind is on the things that we don't fully understand providentially happening in our lives. We look around us and we see disease and destruction. And, you know, I had a thing on the email talking about people, about the government altering the weather, causing a lot of these catastrophes that are going on. Again, do we need to be reminded that God is sovereign over the governments and over all the scientists and over all the people that he's given this certain degree of intelligence to be destructive? God's over it all. You know, he said, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." And he hardened his heart. And he's hardened a lot of people's hearts in this dispensation of time. We look around us at the governments in the Middle East, and there seems to be total chaos. You know, in Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Sudan and Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and all the other places. And we think, things are reeling out of control. No, they are not. God has it all in his jurisdiction. Like we said before, if there's one dust, piece of dust that goes awry, God is not sovereign. God is over it all. Every piece of dust hath not the potter power over the clay. And so, not only does he sovereign over salvation, but he's sovereign over providence. A lot of people say, well, you know, when I turn on the news, when I click on Google News, and I see what's going on in the world, it upsets me. Well, I've got news for you. It doesn't upset God. You cannot. There used to be a commercial on television, and it was about advertising a motel chain, and the key word was surprise. And when surprise came on, it was how terrible the room was and how it stunk and everything else. Well, let me tell you, there are no surprises with God. Regardless of how things get, how bad things get, God is not taking the surprise. Because if God were surprised, what would that be denying in his attributes? It would be denying that he is omnipotent. All-knowing. God knows everything. He said he's the first. He said he's the last. He said he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. I am that I am, he said. And so God cannot be taken by surprise. People say, well, you know what? I imagine God was really surprised when Obama got bin Laden. No. God was not surprised when Obama got... And by the way, do you really believe all that you hear in the news? You better think about it. Maybe you should be surprised about the fact that so many people have bought so many lies put out by the media. God is the only one that knows the ultimate truth. You know? Talked about this before on this program, but in this Weatherby House church, but truth cannot be found in a concept. Truth cannot be found in a concept. Truth is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ personified. What did Pilate say? What is truth? And Pilate was... Jesus Christ was standing right in front of Pilate, and Jesus Christ is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man comes to me. Now listen, you know, there's a lot of religions in the world. You know, there's the Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Native American Indian religion, and we could go through Judaism, Calvinism, Wesleyanism, Catholicism, Presbyterianism. There's a lot of isms, you notice that? But there's only one truth. And that is Jesus Christ, the personhood of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that Jesus said, now this is touching on God's providence, when he said, all that the Father have given me will come to me, and all that will come to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, that's probably one of my most favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, because have you really thought about that scripture? Let's just break it down. All that the Father hath given me. All that the Father given me. Not all. He qualified it, didn't he? All that the Father given me. And then he says, all that the Father given me will come to me. There's not one person that was given to Jesus Christ by the Father that will not come to Jesus Christ. All the Father has given me will come to me. And all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Not one person that the Father has given to Jesus Christ will be cast in hell. Did you hear what I said? Not one person that the Father has given to Jesus Christ will be cast into hell. That's election. That's predestination. That's something that 90% of the churches deny. People say, well, why don't you spend more time on the crucifixion and the atonement and all that? Look, there's great comfort in knowing that we cannot alter the decree of God. There's a lot of people out there that try to alter the weather. They try to alter certain dominions and kingdoms, governments. I remember back when I was coming up, there was this organization called the John Birch Society, and how they were going to try to expose all the evils in the world. And then after doing a little research, the John Birch Society was just as bad as all the rest of them. Now, whether it was the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Federal Reserve Board, the International Bankers, the Illuminati, the Masonic Lodge, on and on and on. But guess what? God is sovereign over all of it. None of those organizations could exist without God's sovereign permission. And the Bible says that if a man stand, take heed lest he fall. A man stand, take heed lest he fall. And so when we look at Joseph and the providential hand of God in Joseph's life, I'm sure his brothers thought that they would never hear from Joseph again. And they were probably partying after they sold him into Egypt and they got their money. They were probably celebrating. Probably thought, man, we pulled this off. We'll never have to worry about that dreamer again with his coat of many colors. Came back to haunt him, though, didn't it? But yet, in God's sovereignty, he used that very thing, that evil act, to actually bring about their own preservation down the road. So when you have a situation in your life where it seems like everything is going against you, I've had it in my own life, where it seems like people are coming against me, and we look at it and say, why me, Lord? Why are you allowing this to happen? Well, we look further on down the road and we see behind all of those situations, sometimes we never fully understand why certain things happen. But you know what? God has his purposes, and sometimes his purposes are meant to humble us and to bring us down. Sometimes his purposes are to raise us up. Sometimes his purposes we don't know, and sometimes we may never know his purposes. But God, by the definition of who he is, it always amazes me how certain people hold the presupposition that there are many gods, but they deny the very definition of God himself. Because the definition in Webster's Dictionary says the ultimate authority of all things. The ultimate authority of all things. There can only be one ultimate authority, not many. Because what would happen if there were many? They would be fighting amongst themselves to get the power. People talk about oligarchies and monarchies and republics and democracies. But we're talking here about the monarch of all monarchs, God himself. Now, one of the things that a lot of people deny outside of Orthodox Christianity is the Trinity. We've talked about how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit works in total harmony to accentuate and to assure the total sovereignty of God himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're in perfect unity. And we see many examples of that in the New Testament. But one example that we see is at the baptism of John the Baptist. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lights upon Christ. So we have the Father speaking from above, we have the Holy Spirit represented in the form of a dove, and we have Jesus Christ on the scene there. And the Bible says that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so today, let us be reminded that we've used a lot of different scriptures, we've used a lot of different examples, but the main point I wanted to bring to bear is that, again, that God is sovereign over what's going on in our individual lives. In our individual lives, in our governments, in countries, nations, planets, galaxies, universes, hospitals, funeral homes, churches, dance halls, and bars. God's sovereign over all of this mess. And I recently was talking to a person, and he was bragging and carrying on over the how that he was in all these drunken brawls and sexual escapades, young kid stuff. And I was just thinking, you know what? By all appearances, you appear to be a reprobate by the way you're talking. But you know what? God is sovereign over the Nebuchadnezzars of life. He raises these people up to bring them down. So God can so orchestrate things that He can take evil to accomplish His purposes. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you're making God the author of sin, and all of that. But, you know, the best scripture that actually provides proof that what I'm saying is not just a Larry idea, but is actually the truth of the Word of God, is in Acts 4, 28. Acts 4, 28. It says, we have to read we really need to start in verse 24 and read down through 28 of Acts 4. Mark, you want to read 24?
When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and pointed toward and said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in it is.
Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?
The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ.
For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together.
For do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it be done."
And that's the verse 28 that is actually showing that God takes these very acts, these people bringing Christ into His death, and it was all planned before the foundation of the world. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. And in verse 28 it says, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So anyway, does anybody have a concluding selection? Rosette wanted to sing. Did you have something, Mark?
524.
Rosette wanted to sing 524. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, and salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. I know my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who fight. None other is so light, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my journey.